Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for our time of worship. Thank you that we were led into your presence, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to sing our praises to you. Thank you for the encouragement from Sean. Thank you for the prayer from Pauline. Thank you for all the ministering you've done to us already, Father, through your children. Hallelujah. And thank you, Father, that we are now going to gather around your word. Take these scriptures, these seeds, and plant them in the ground of our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word that speaks of your word being seeds and our hearts being the ground. So we thank you for this opportunity to look at these seeds, plant them in our hearts. Father, I speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, understanding so these seeds are not stolen, understanding so these seeds will grow and produce fruit. And we thank you that we have the capacity to produce fruit for you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Hallelujah. We are now in week four. Week four already. It'll soon be week 14 of this mini-series. Hallelujah. Mini-series that I'm calling God is Love. I called it that because I can't explain that definition. I can't define what that phrase means. But what we're going to do is look at different aspects of his love and try and get an understanding about it through looking at these different aspects. We saw 2 weeks ago, my favourite so far, that he is creative yet relational. Really like that. He created us for a relationship with him. That's awesome. And then last week we saw that he is loyal. This love is loyal. Family loyalty. He's committed to us. And we've seen that in his love, he keeps his promises. He keeps his covenants. He's loyal to us. And we saw that by looking at the book of Ruth, and that was an amazing bit of typology. So today I'm going to cover another two words that describe his love. That's not bad, actually. I've done 3 words so far. I'll do another two. So that's not bad for me. So I'm going to do another two today. Another aspect of his character that shows us he is love. So turn with me to the book of Mark. Good morning, Michelle. The book of Mark and chapter 10. I didn't tell you the chapter, did I? And 13 to 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Love this passage. Now, most of you will know that when I'm working my way through a biblical passage, when I'm trying to prepare to teach it, I like to imagine what is happening. I like to try and see what's going on in my head. I'll go out on my bike or go for a walk or go to the beach or something and just sit and shut my eyes and try and picture what's going on. Pauline, you're a bit like that, aren't you? You've got to see it. And I think that's a really useful tool to try and picture what's going on and see it in your head. And I do think at times I've received revelation from the Holy Spirit in this way. He just said, you know, because the Bible's not always explicit about what's going on. Sometimes you need the Holy Spirit to tell you, this is actually the way it happened and this is how to see it. So it's a great way to get revelation. Anyway, this is what I saw. So I saw Jesus sitting on the floor of the house. If you read the context before, he's in a house now.
So they're in this house, and I saw the room absolutely crowded with parents pushing their children in. The room was full of people, and there's even more outside, trying to get in, trying to get their children in to be blessed. Parents wanting the best for their children. And they saw it at that moment, because the best was sitting right there on the floor, Jesus Christ. And the disciples are trying to keep them out. You know, towards the end of the day, maybe Jesus was tired. You know, maybe he'd done his allotted ministry for the day. You know, he'd done his hour preaching and his half an hour ministering. And the disciples were trying to get him off to his bed. But no, Jesus was having none of it. No, let them come to me. And this reminded me of numerous meetings we'd held in India. You know, you say here to people, if you want ministry, come forward. And then 30 seconds later, when nobody's moved, you kind of say it again. No, really. If anybody wants ministry, come forward. Well, if you say, if you want ministry in India, come forward, take a step back. Because you're going to be knocked down in the rush. And there were times in India where we were pinned against the wall in a crush. And then some of the people found out that there was a back door. So they were coming like both of us. But you know, you say to them, come forward for ministry. And what we noticed in India was parents pushing and shoving to get their children to the front to be blessed. Because they saw the best thing for them was an education, and they wanted the pastors to pray for that education, to bless their kids. So I think, you know, I was saying to the Holy Spirit, what's happening here? But also my experience was showing me the need for these parents to push their children forward to get blessed. And it's an awesome picture. But anyway, like in India, it was a scene of what I saw Jesus, a scene of chaos. Absolute chaos. Carnage almost. But this little circle of calm sitting on the floor was Jesus. You know, they didn't have chairs. They sat on the floor. So Jesus is sitting on the floor. Peace at the centre of it. And I saw something really important, something relevant for this account, this picture. I saw Jesus hugging and blessing the children. And this is important. One at a time. One at a time. Yes, large group of children. I couldn't count how many there was in my head. But there was a huge throng and more people coming in and coming in. But a large group of children that being ministered to and blessed one at a time as an individual. And there's another important part of this movie that I saw in my head. I saw people being blessed and then going out, and then more people coming in, and more coming in, and more going out, and more coming in. But what I saw is every child who came in was hugged and blessed. Jesus blessed until there was no one left to bless. You know, there was nothing about this, you know, I need to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning, so I'm just going to bless people until 10 o'clock tonight and then I'll have to go home. Now, I'm not against ministers who do that. I've seen that being done. And I'm not against that, but not with Jesus. It was, he blessed every child. And I saw this happening until the room was empty. Just Jesus and the disciples. I saw Jesus relating to and blessing every single one of those children that was brought to him. And I see him doing this one at a time. So from that, here's the lesson for today. Here's the point of the sermon. Jesus' love which is the express image of the Father, yes? We've seen that in John. He can only do what the Father does. He can only do what he sees the Father do. It's at Hebrews 1:3. He's the express image of the Father. We see Jesus. We see God the Father. Jesus' love, which is the express image of the Father's love, is inclusive but personal. Inclusive but personal. Now you may be saying, well, you know, that's just your imagination, Vic. You know, I've read those four verses, and it doesn't explicitly say that in the Word. It doesn't explicitly say, and Jesus hugged and blessed every single child, and he did it to them one at a time. I know it doesn't say that. But that's what I saw. And I think if you read the rest of the Word, that picture fits in with what we see Jesus doing the rest of the time. Doesn't it? You know, we see Jesus as inclusive, being inclusive. We see Jesus rejecting no one, excluding no one. Well, he excluded the Pharisees. No, he didn't. He gave them the option. They excluded themselves. Yeah, he was a bit harsh on them, but he still included them. Jesus rejected or excluded no one. How many times, well, this is not a question, but many times we see Jesus healing how many people? All. Very inclusive. But we also see him at times going for the individual. You know, some of my favourites, the Samaritan woman at the well. The woman taken in adultery. That's a one-to-one. The invalid at the pool at Bethesda. Sometimes individuals came to him, but often Jesus went to the individual. Healing all people, inclusive, going to the individuals. Personal. I forgot the word for a second then. Personal. Don't know if you, did you see the look of panic in my face, Evelyn, as I was looking at you there and couldn't remember personal? I've only been preparing this all week. Inclusive and personal. Ministering to groups and individuals. But here's someone else we see, and I think we've seen that from the account with the children. We see him ministering to groups or ministering to crowds as individuals. And I love that. Ministering to the crowds as individuals. His mercy, his compassion, hence his love, is inclusive yet personal. Go with me to Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 38 to 42. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. Very important when we're looking at the Word, we read every word and we look at exactly what is being said and try and picture it and see the relevance. Now, we had a great conversation in our online communion yesterday morning. I had to lead the communion, and I based it on the sermon for today. I kind of gave the folks, see, you should come on communion on a Saturday morning, because sometimes you get a sneak preview of the sermon. It was great. So I was speaking about the sermon, about Jesus with the kids, and Corrine said, well, remember that time Jesus prayed all night, healed people all night? And we all kind of went, where's that scripture? So we looked for it a little bit, but we couldn't find it. But anyway, the good news was Stuart sent me it later. And if you want to look at that, it's Mark 1:30 to 33, but this is the same account. Corinne said, well, there's another time, you know, that Jesus was inclusive but personal. And I went and looked at it. And yes, indeed, and this is amazing, if you read it properly. A group of people need healing. Now, was it within Jesus' power to reach out in hand and say, everybody be healed? Yeah, I think it was. I mean, he was God after all. I think he could have done whatever he wanted. Everybody be healed. Could have done that. Pray over. I pray. I was going to say in the name of Jesus. No, in my name. You know, he could have just put his hand out and prayed over everybody as a group. Blessed everybody as a group. And I've seen ministers do that. I've done that myself. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that has to be done. I remember one time again when we were in India, it was getting very late, because we'd probably arrived late. This is always, everyone's running late. It was very late. And I remember good old Pastor Sundar, as ever, very concerned about my well-being. You know, it's like time Pastor Vic went to his bed kind of thing. He's very tired. And I remember Sundar saying to people, we're not going to pray for you all individually tonight. We're going to say a group prayer. And we did. And there was nothing wrong with that. It's part of ministry. I've seen other people do it as well. There's nothing wrong with that. But look at verse 40 again. That is not what Jesus did. He had this group of people, but he didn't treat them as a group. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Now, I don't know how many people were in that crowd, but you'll see in a minute there must have been a lot. I don't know how many people were in that crowd, but he laid hands on everyone. Everyone was ministered to individually. Now, I don't know whether he just put his hands on them and healed them, or had a word of knowledge, or spoke out healing, or gave them other things. I don't know how he ministered to them, but he ministered to every single one of them individually in that group. And I hadn't seen it before, but Corinne pointed it out yesterday. Ivic, and he did it all night. Did it all night. Verse 40 says, when did the ministry start? When the sun was setting. When did Jesus get up and go away? The next day. He ministered all night. Okay, Vic, but it doesn't explicitly say that Jesus ministered all night. He could have gone to his bed. But it could have been all night. Couldn't it? You can understand it that way. When the sun was setting, they brought the sick to him. When it was day, he departed. That says to me, all night. Don't know how many people must have been there and healed for him to lay his hands on them, and you know, it could have done it in seconds for every person. Maybe he had a little bit longer for some. I mean, we know once even Jesus had to pray twice. Hallelujah. Went on all night. I love that. And once again, I saw this full house with people coming and going. And, you know, I see people leaving. I was like, I just got healed by Jesus. So another 10 going along. I want some of that. Somebody going home to their house. I've just been healed by this guy called Jesus just along the street. Another 5 family members. Oh, I love some of that. Just see people coming in their droves. Coming sick and possessed. Meeting an individual encounter with Jesus Christ. And leaving healed and delivered. How good's that? Awesome. Everyone in this group being ministered to as an individual. He laid hands on every one of them. And that's the key phrase. Every is inclusive, one personal. He laid hands on every one of them. All healed. Awesome. Think about the feeding of the 5,000. That was a huge group because it was more than 5,000. Because remember, guys, we were the only ones that were important enough to be counted. Didn't count the ladies or the kids. So that 5,000, it must have been, I don't know, 12, 15, 20,000. Huge group. Everyone sat down. Everyone served as an individual. They didn't just put the food out and everybody went and helped themselves, did they? You read the account. Jesus served the disciples. They served the people. Everyone got served as an individual. Everyone stuffed full. Everyone like my dad after a visit to my granny, which I preached on a couple of weeks ago. Absolutely stuffed full. Ministered to a group of individuals, or ministered to a group as individuals, sorry. Inclusive yet personal. Sitting at my desk yesterday preparing the sermon, and I was reminded about a job I used to do when I was a bit younger. It was one of the best jobs I ever had. Never got paid for it. And it was only one day a year. Who can guess what that was? Santa. Yes. Well done. For a number of years, I used to be the Santa. I used to be Santa at the Christmas party at Avis Primary School. So I worked at the shop, so they'd take me the suit, I'd get changed, and then I'd just wander across to the school. It's fantastic. And it was an absolute pleasure. You know, some folk don't want kids leaving Santa, all that kind of stuff. Okay, whatever. But see if you've ever been in a Santa suit and walk into a primary school with 5, 6, and 7-year-olds. It's a joy. I tell you, it is one of the best things. Walking in and seeing the faces on those kids, full of excitement, full of anticipation. Not so much waiting for Santa, but what are they waiting for? A present. Amen. So I'd come in, I'd do my ho, ho, ho. I'd wave to them and they'd have to sing Jingle Bells, but I couldn't hear, so they'd have to sing it louder. It was fantastic. And then I'd sit in a chair in front of the kids with a huge sack of prezzies. Do you ever think there was a time when there was a kid that didn't get a prezzie? No. That's one of the things you really got to check. And the school were great at it. Every kid had a parcel. So I'd take out the presents one at a time, take them out the sack, shout their name out, and they came out one at a time, didn't they? One at a time to get a little bit of time with Santa. Yeah, quite often it was honest. How are you? Are you having a good time? Yeah. Have you been a good boy? Yes. Yes. Okay, there you go. Their present from Santa. They all came out one at a time to receive their present and have a wee chat sometimes with Santa. And, you know, don't shout blasphemous or whatever at me. But I saw this as a picture of Jesus. You know, with his love and his presence for every single one of us. Jesus has got a sack full of salvation. A sack full of sozo packages. Sozo parcels. And in this bag, everyone, every person that's ever been born or ever will be born has got a present in that sack of sozo with their name written on it. God, through Jesus, has provided salvation for every single person that has ever or will ever be born. But we choose to come up and accept it, or we choose to ignore it. I did have a couple of times, for whatever reason, lovely old me, a couple of kids were too frightened to come up and see me and get their presents. I can't imagine why. This big old guy with a beard comes in and starts shouting at them. What's the fear? Anyway, you know, some of them wouldn't come up and get their presents. They wouldn't accept it. This is like Sean said, you've got to go and open the door. Jesus is behind the door with a box, a sozo, with your name on it. And if you didn't open the door, you know, parcels are no use, presents are no use unless you do what?
Receive them.
Open them, use them. So we need to do that. But we choose whether to come up and accept it or we choose to ignore it. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That is his wish. That's his will. Now, God's will doesn't always come to pass. We know that. You know, we know the gate is narrow and wide, and a lot of folk go through the wide gate. We know that. But it's his will that everyone should come to repentance, that everyone should be saved. And he has provided the way for that. He has provided the way for salvation. Whosoever will accept this deal. All have been forgiven. All have been reconciled. Forgiveness is a done deal. Forgiveness was given to everyone at the cross. A lot of Christians don't get that. They think you're forgiven once you're saved. No, you were actually forgiven before you were born. But you don't receive the benefits of that forgiveness. You don't get to move into salvation, move into righteousness until you receive it by faith. Jesus has provided all that. All have been forgiven. All have been reconciled. Forgiveness is a done deal. Forgiveness was given at the cross. Just for Christians? No. 1 John 2:2 says, "And he is the propitiation, he is the payment for our sins." Thank you. There is another bit to that verse. "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." There's no getting away from it. Everybody has been forgiven for everything. What, even him who, just for Carol's sake, even him who kicks the dog? You can forgive them, Carol? Sorry, that was a bit below the belt. Forgiveness for everything. Ah, that's a great fact. Not just believers, but everybody's had their sins paid for. Yes, people who will never accept Jesus have been reconciled, have been forgiven. And that's quite sad. There are people who are not going to benefit from that, had their sins paid for. Some people will never receive that benefits of forgiveness as they never move into faith. But it's already been paid for. Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Forgiveness came at the cross. Forgiveness came when his blood flowed. All sins for all time have been dealt with by the blood of Jesus. And this has been seen by who? By God the Father. Hebrews 10:12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." And Hebrews 10:17 says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." God has seen the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. His work is finished. And he sees our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions no more. And he's not forgetful. It's not that he's just had a slip of memory. He has deliberately chosen to put all our sins behind his back so that he can't see them. One perfect sacrifice has dealt with sin forever. The sin issue has been sorted. Father God has seen that and doesn't remember our sins anymore. All our sins been dealt with. All forgiveness, all reconciliation has flowed. We've all been forgiven as a group, as being a member of this group called the human race. 2 Peter 3:9 again. I'm going to read it again because I can. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's the inclusive part of his love. It is inclusive. Anybody can be saved. Anybody can come to repentance. He wants all to be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, inclusive, believeth, personal, in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, there's that inclusion, but also the personal thing again. We're all included, but we all need to choose and make it personal. Whosoever, I did a whole series of sermons last year, didn't I, on what it means to be a whosoever, what you get as a whosoever, what you're given as a whosoever. But it says, whosoever believes. That two words indicate that this is inclusive and personal. All mankind is invited. As Sean said, all mankind can open the door. Jesus is behind, metaphorically, Jesus is behind everybody's door. Yeah. I got to do is open it. And I mean, there's no handle on the outside, as Sean said, and he's not going to kick the door down. You know, he's probably knocking constantly. Are we listening? I mean, thankfully everyone in here's listened, opened, and now he's in. But he's behind the door for everybody, knocking on everybody's door. All mankind is invited. He's got that. Let's mix our pictures. He's standing behind Sean's door with my Sozo box. got a prezi for you. All we have to do is open the door, take the box, and then, as they say, the rest is history. All mankind is invited, but the individual needs to respond to that invitation. All mankind is included in forgiveness and reconciliation, but not all benefit. We have a choice. And then I was brought to 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21. You guys know my favourite passage. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, hallelujah, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I didn't need to read all that, but I just did, because I can't. If any man be in Christ, this is also inclusive, but it's also personal. It's talking about any man, inclusive, but there's that if. That makes it our choice, that makes it personal. If, once in Christ, born again, we benefit from all that Jesus did. But I wanted us to look at this little passage to do with the reconciliation, because there's a bit in there that used to confuse me. If you read it carefully, you know, and you don't understand the whole of it, you should have been confused. Verse 18 says, I have been reconciled to God. Verse 20 tells me to reconcile myself to God. I don't know if you've noticed that. That's a contradiction. Verse 18 says, I have been reconciled to God. Verse 20 tells me to reconcile myself to God. And that used to be a problem for me. But I understand it now. But I think I can explain it using these terms, inclusive and personal. When we're born again, our spirits are created new and reconciled to God. That word reconciled comes from the Greek word katalagi, means exchange, restoration to divine favour. This happened to my spirit, this happened to your spirit, as part of the collective church, as part of his family. This happens to every single believer, all included, and no one is missed. The second you are born again, your spirit is created new, and that is reconciled to God. Yeah? That's verse 18 is talking about. But then I have a part to play. We have a part to play. And that, I think, is to reconcile our minds to God. And that's personal to me. God loves me, though, and has provided a mechanism for me to do that. Mind renewal through knowledge of the Word of God. All believers are created new in their spirit when they're born again, inclusive. We're all included. But it's personal, it's down to us whether we can be bothered to renew our minds and live in the fullness that he has provided for us. Whether we want to put in the time to study, whether we want to put time and effort into the word, whether we want to renew our minds in order that we'll be transformed. And I think that's what this is talking about. Our spirit, as we're included in that. Once we're born again, spirit sorted. But then it's personal. It's down to us whether we want to renew our minds and reconcile the rest of ourselves to God. It is personal whether we renew our minds, but the Lord will help us as individuals in that process. This is where it gets personal again. He'll teach us. He'll guide us. He'll teach me and guide me in different things to Stuart or Pauline or Eileen, because we all need different things. We're all included at the point of salvation and our spirits are sealed. But then it gets personal. And I need my mind renewed in a different way from Chris. Holy Spirit needs to say different things to me, to Chris, point us in different directions in the Bible. That's where it gets personal. His love has changed us the same. And it's inclusive to do with our spirits. But in his love will change us in different ways that we need. And that's personal. God loves me as a child of his. As a member of mankind. Part of the pinnacle of his creation. And God loves every single one of you in that way as well. He loves us because we are human beings. We're part of that group. That's inclusive. But you know what? He also loves me as Vic. As an ordinary bloke just trying to live out his life as the best he can. Making mistakes, but in relationship with him. And it's the same for you. He loves you individually as well. His love is inclusive, but his love is personal. He loves you as a human being, but he loves you as you. Inclusive and personal.